Hello, I'm Professor Shlomo Levy from Northampton Community College, and I'm honored today to be with Dr. Sharon Gavin Levy to talk to her for an oral history project, Voices from the African Diaspora, the Black Experience of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as part of the Lehigh Valley Engage Humanities Consortium. We are here at the lovely home of Ms. Sharon Levy on Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. Thank you for your willingness to speak with us. Can you please state and then spell your full name?
My name is Sharon Gavin Levy, Sharon Gavin Levy.
And can you tell us your date of birth, or as close to it as you're willing to share?
Thank you so much. My birthday is June 25th, and I'm a 50s baby.
50s. Okay. Well, that's good enough. Where were you born?
I was born in on Long Island, New York. I was born in a small town called Bayshore, New York.
And where was your family from?
My mother actually was a member of the Shinnecock Indian tribe, which is a Native American tribe out on the eastern end of Long Island in a place called Southampton. My mother was born in Bellport on Long Island. My father was originally from a small town called Prairie Point, Mississippi.
And what were their names?
My mother's name was Viola Eliezer Gavin, and my father was Nicholas Gavin.
Mm-hmm. When did you or your family move to Bethlehem?
Actually, I moved to Bethlehem in November 1976. And I moved here as a single young woman for a job, actually.
Hmm. What brought you to Bethlehem?
I came here in 1976. I had been looking for a job during that time. It was difficult finding a job in New York. There was a recession going on at that time, and so I had planned to just find a job, and being originally from Long Island, New York, I planned to stay there. However, it was very difficult finding a job in education, and so I decided to expand my search, and I actually applied for a job that was posted in the New York Times. There was a section called Careers in Education. So there was this community college, Northampton Community College, that was advertising a position in the New York Times, so I applied for the position. And I was eventually interviewed and offered the position, and that's what brought me here to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a job at Northampton Community College.
Uh-huh. And why don't we step back and tell us a little bit about your experiences, although you didn't grow up here in Bethlehem, of your life, early life experiences, your college years, and then your decision to go into education and then coming here to Bethlehem.
Okay. Well, I as I said, I'm originally from Long Island, New York. I grew up in a small town called Patchogue. Patchogue's about 60 miles from New York City, and so it was a small town. My father was a barber and had a barbershop. In fact, he had one of the first barbershops for, you know, African-American men, for black men on Long Island. And so people used to come from miles and miles around to, you know, for my dad to cut their hair. And my mom was a pretty much a stay-at-home mom. You know, there was times when she would do housework or day's work, but most of the time, you know, she was home with us. I have two older sisters and a younger brother. So I kind of feel like my growing up years were kind of uneventful. My parents were hardworking, you know, working class black people. They owned their own home, and my dad worked hard. I never knew my dad to have fewer than two jobs. You know, at that time, it seemed like all the men, the black men that I knew, worked a full-time job and had at least a second job. So, you know, it was felt like it was kind of an uneventful childhood. I grew up in a family that I was taught values, and I was taught that you had to work hard. I was taught that there was nothing that you couldn't do, but anything that you got in life, you had to work hard for it. Although my parents didn't, my mom did have a high school diploma. My dad probably didn't go higher than maybe, you know, 7th, 8th grade. And, you know, the South, he was from a family of sharecroppers. So, you know, in terms of having an extensive education, my parents didn't, but they valued hard work and they certainly valued education. And I kind of grew up in a home where you were expected to do well, you were expected to kind of be obedient, and they didn't tolerate any foolishness. So that's kind of how I grew up. So.
And so where did you go to college?
I went to Bucknell University, and actually that was my first introduction to Pennsylvania. I had applied to several schools in New York and probably expected that I would go to college in New York. But I did. I had taken some tests, and I had done pretty well on my SATs. And then they had something at that time that was called the National Achievement Scholarship. And I think at that time that was targeted for students of color, black students at that time. I grew up during the time of the Civil Rights Movement and during the time of, you know, the Vietnam War and so forth. And so that was the beginning of opportunities becoming available for blacks. And so I had taken this test and I'd done pretty well. So I began to get all these letters from scholars from colleges all over the country trying to recruit me. I guess I was a part of that wave of, you know, recruiting black students to go to school. So Bucknell actually sent me a letter and I applied to Bucknell, and I went there because I was accepted and they gave me a very good scholarship package. So that was really my that's really the reason I went there.
So you had some experience living in Bethlehem in Pennsylvania.
Yes, that was my introduction to Pennsylvania, coming to Bucknell.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my bachelor's there, and then I had an opportunity to get a master's there. So I stayed there to get my master's. Then I went back to New York, you know, kind of expecting to get a job in New York and just stay there where my family was, and, you know.
And so what was your major in college?
I was actually, my undergraduate major was political science. I actually went to Bucknell expecting to go to law school afterwards. And although I did actually apply to law school, and I was actually waitlisted at Columbia University Law School, and by the time it came to go or to continue to pursue law school, I recognized that wasn't really what I wanted to do. And so I did stay at Bucknell and I got my master's, and then I came back to New York, couldn't find a job, and got a job here in Bethlehem. And that's what brought me to the Lehigh Valley in 1976.
1976 is when you started at Northampton Community
mm-hmm.
College.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Yes.
Describe what Bethlehem was like in the mid-1970s.
Well, as I recall, I came here as, you know, I came here as a single person. It was very difficult to really kind of become a part of the community. The one thing I can remember, and I still kind of see it even today, Bethlehem was very clearly new people. You know, either you were born and raised here in Bethlehem, or your family had been here for decades and decades, and then you were part of the Lehigh Valley. But if you were a new person, you were a new person. There was very clearly to me a dichotomy between new people and those people who had been here for decades or for generations. So I was a new person, and you know, I had been involved in being in church at home and so forth on Long Island, and having grown up in the church and whatnot. But even when I came here to the Lehigh Valley, I kind of visited the churches, but, you know, this was a difficult community to crack. I really feel that even among the, you know, the black community, if you were a new person, you were a new person. You were an outsider. It was
mm-hmm.
insiders and outsiders. New people were outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a long time, in fact, for 4 years, I essentially was a commuter. I worked here from Monday to Friday. Friday I was on the highway headed back to New York. And then Sunday night, headed back to the Lehigh Valley to work. So basically, really, for 4 years, I commuted. And I really didn't begin to build a life here, I would say, until maybe 1980.
Mm-hmm. What happened then?
I just, you know, I just began to, I began to make friends with people. I began to realize that, hey, I need to build a life here. You can't commute forever. You know, it's one thing if you're commuting an hour, but I was commuting to New York. And I just began to meet other people my age and kind of began to build a social network here. In 1981, I got involved in a church. Actually, I was one of the founding members of Grace Deliverance Baptist Church. And that was actually 1981. And that church kind of became my family. We were a community. We're actually, it was a church founded by, we were pretty much all young people. We were all like in our late 20s, early 30s. Our pastor was a little bit older, but it truly was a church of young people. And then I had other, you know, other friends, and I basically began to build a life here. And that happened after being here 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Who was the minister?
The minister was actually, the founding pastor was Lorenzo B. Hall. He was originally from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And he had actually been, he was the pastor of St. Paul Baptist Church, which was a Baptist church here in town. And, you know, I wasn't a member of St. Paul, so I don't know all that went on. But anyway, he was only a pastor there for a short time. And then he and a group of people from St. Paul came out of St. Paul. And then they founded, and a bunch of us founded Grace Deliverance Baptist Church. It actually was, we gathered in the home of Tom and Loretta Wright. Tom is now the associate pastor at Grace Deliverance. But Grace Deliverance Baptist Church was started in the basement of Tom and Loretta Wright's home here in Bethlehem.
Mm. Now, if you would describe Northampton Community College in the late 1970s, early 80s.
Okay, Northampton at that time was so much smaller than it is now. It truly, at Northampton at that time, in many ways that was a community in that you knew absolutely everyone. All the administrators, all the faculty, the secretaries, the maintenance. It was a small enough place that you knew everyone. And so now it's just, you know, it's so loud, it's so large now you wouldn't be able to know. But back then, you knew everyone. You knew what everybody was doing. You knew all the little gossip on campus. And it was also a very kind of small and cozy place at that time.
Mm-hmm.
When I first went there, there were not many people of color. There was Frank Stanton, who I believe was one of the first blacks who ever worked at the community college. There was Louise Johnson, and also there was only one Hispanic at that time, Eddie Nieves. And we actually worked in one program. We worked in a program called Project Aware. It was an educational opportunity program. And that's actually the program that hired me. I came to Northampton as a program specialist in the Project Aware program. So actually I went there as an administrator. Actually, I was a part of the faculty, but eventually in just 2 years, our director took another position and I became the interim director of Project Aware. And that was in 1978. And then thereafter, I became the permanent director. So I began at the college primarily as an administrator. Project Aware was, as I said, it was an educational opportunity program. And Project Aware was a program in which we provided students, and we probably had the largest segment of students of color who were recruited and who came to Northampton, and they came through the Project Aware program. So we provided counseling, we provided tutoring services. Project Aware was a program designed to recruit students who may not be academically prepared, but we provided the additional support services that they needed in order to successfully graduate and make it through college. And so that was a program that was founded by a then state representative, Kay Leroy Irvis, who was a very influential man in the Pennsylvania legislature. And he founded the Act 101 program. So there were Act 101 programs at colleges and universities all across the state of Pennsylvania. We just called our Act 101 program at Northampton Community College Project AWARE. But it was a program in which we had a large number of Hispanic and African American students, and the point of the program was to give them the kind of support so that they could be successful in higher education. So we saw students come through our program who later transferred and then went on and, you know, became lawyers and so forth. You know, students were very, very successful in the Act 101 program.
And how did your role at the college change over time?
Well, initially I became as the project specialist, program specialist, and that just mean that that particular position meant that I assisted the director with some of her assignments, but I also advised, I was like an academic advisor, a counselor to some of the students at that particular time. They just had two male counselors, and so I was available to help out with the, you know, with the female students. And then, as I said, in 2 years after I came, the director took another position, and I was the interim director, but then I became the director of the program. So not only did I, not only was I the director of the Act 101 program, but I also became very successful in developing and writing grants. And while I was, while I was doing that, I wrote the grant for the Student Support Services program, so we were able to get funding for that program. Also during the time I was an administrator, and that actually, that division of the college was the Student Affairs Department. So as an administrator, I was one of the Student Affairs Administrators. So during my time, we were able to add additional programs. We had an adult resource center that was really designed to help adults, and we worked with a lot of women. We wrote grant funds. We got grant funding for programs for women. I was involved in a program called Tuesday College. Actually, I was one of the founders and originators of that, in which we had special kind of programs and classes on Tuesdays. And that was designed to get women to come to the college, mm-hmm. and to, adult women and non-traditional women, to introduce them to the college. And so we were very successful in initially, Tuesday College had credit-free programs, but that was a kind of non-threatening way for women to come, and eventually many of those women started taking credit courses from the college. So during those early years, my early years at the college, I was involved in those kind of special programs and initiatives to get special populations to come to the college and to be successful. Mm-hmm. At the mm-hmm. college.
When did you transition into the teaching side?
Okay, actually that happened in the early 1990s. I was an administrator for about 15 years, mm-hmm. and then during those years, I eventually, in 1986, I met my husband. We were married in 1987, mm-hmm. and then our daughter was born in 1988. So at that time, I had a young child, and I was a busy administrator and long days, and I just kind of knew that at this stage in my life, that kind of schedule just wasn't the best thing for me. And so since I had a master's degree in English from Bucknell, I had the opportunity, I expressed my interest in teaching, and so I went through kind of a transition. I took some additional courses at the University of Pennsylvania. And so by about 1991, 92, I was gradually teaching a course or two in addition to my administrative responsibilities. So that by 1993, I was ready to go into the classroom full time. And so that's how I began to do my teaching.
Tell us a little bit about your future husband.
My future husband, Ulysses Harold Levy, who everybody knows as Harold. He uses his middle name as his primary name. He and I actually met through a mutual friend. He was working at Penn State University. He was a Penn Stater himself. He has his master's and his bachelor's from Penn State. But I had a friend here in the Lehigh Valley who had begun college but hadn't finished. So he was actually working. He was a non-traditional student, and he was trying to finish up his degree at Penn State. And so he had shared with me that he was going to be graduating. And so he and another friend of ours, we went out, a good friend of mine, Pat Graham, she and I, and Lloyd Knight, who actually introduced me to my husband. The three of us would kind of hang out together a lot. And when Lloyd graduated, he said he was going to have his friend, his buddy Harold, help him find a room so he could have a reception. And Harold did.
Half hour already?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was a half hour?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to the good part.
No, wait, we still got...
Okay, Dr. Levy, you were just telling us about meeting your future husband, Harold Levy. What year did you get married?
We got married in 1987.
Here in Bethlehem?
Yes, we actually... we were actually married at the Emmanuel Evangelical Church on Center Street, because the church, our church, Grace Deliverance Baptist Church, which at that time was located on 838 North New Street, was small, didn't accommodate the number of guests that we were having. So we got married at Evangelical Church on Center Street. And then we had our wedding reception at the Hotel Bethlehem, and we had a very nice wedding reception, and we heard from some of our guests that the people at the Hotel Bethlehem were kind of, well, who are these people? Who are these black people? Are they from around here? Because we had guests coming from the Pittsburgh area, New York, and everybody came looking very beautiful and stylish. So we heard that the people at the hotel were wondering, well, who are these black people?
So it wasn't common for black people to have events at Hotel Bethlehem at that time?
Maybe, probably not. I'm sure some did, but probably not to the scale that we had. But we had a very lovely event.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how many children do you have?
We have one daughter, Nicole, who was born here in Bethlehem at St. Luke's Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what it was like raising a family in Bethlehem.
In many ways, this is a nice community to raise a family and to have a family. But at the same time, it's difficult if you're raising children of color here in the Lehigh Valley. The school system can be a difficult system in that there's certain expectations. And there's also a lack of expectation for children of color. So our daughter is a bright student, and she was in honors classes and so forth. And I know it was hard for her because she was very often the only. And so it's difficult for children of color being raised here in the Lehigh Valley. At least it was. Our daughter's in her 30 years old now. So when she was going to school, even socially, it was difficult. There weren't large numbers of black students, and so it was a challenge. I know it was a challenge for her, mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's even a challenge now for young people socially, for young professionals who may be white, that might be fine, but for young, college educated black people, it's difficult. This is not an area where they necessarily would find, a large social system and a support system of young black educated professionals here.
You mentioned your religious affiliations. What was the social scene like for young black people of different ages in terms of clubs,
mm-hmm.
Activities? things like that.
Well, when I came back in the late 70s, there really wasn't much of a social outlet, at least not for me. I'm sure there were organizations here like the Elks and the CVA, the Colored Voters Association or whatnot, but I think that kind of catered to an older crowd. And so there, you know, as I recall, there really wasn't too much going on, which is why I commuted back and forth to New York. I know there was a time when, this was like in the 80s, early 80s, things kind of picked up a little bit. There was a place that opened up over in Allentown called the Jetport. That was, you know, a lot of young folks kind of hung out there. And then in Easton, actually, Larry Holmes opened up a place called Round One. And I know a lot of, you know, young people my age would kind of hang out there. So at different times, the social opportunities would be a little bit better. But just overall, the Lehigh Valley wasn't then, and even now, I don't think it's really a great, great place for young black people to socialize and to have social outlets and to meet other people and so forth.
What was the political climate like?
The political climate, wow, that's kind of...
In terms of people.
Just in terms of
issues
people,
that might have been important then, busing.
Yeah, I kind of think from what I heard, you know, people growing up here in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it was kind of difficult. I know I didn't grow up here, but I can remember my peers who did talking about the fact that they couldn't go to the public pools here in Bethlehem. I remember Frank Stanton, my colleague at Northampton Community College, who passed away a couple of years ago. I remember his sharing that when they were growing up, black kids couldn't go to the pools here in Bethlehem. So I know there were some issues here in Bethlehem. And even down through the years, you know, there have been different times where, you know, the NAACP has had issues that they've had to deal with here in the Lehigh Valley and so forth. So I think the struggle that has been the struggle for black people across the country has been the struggle for black people right here in the Lehigh Valley.
Mm-hmm. And even though there wasn't, say, legal segregation, there was a kind of redlining, and Bethlehem had different communities.
Absolutely.
Where did the majority of the black community live, and what parts of Bethlehem or neighborhoods?
Well, when I came here, it was very clear to me that many blacks lived on the south side, and having heard about that growing up, that's pretty much where black people lived. But then if people ever came to the north side, I think they called it like Overtown or something. That was something. And even where we reside now, in Bethlehem Township, that I understand, if black people moved to Bethlehem Township, that's when they were really kind of progressing economically. From what I understand, it was difficult when people first moved to the Bethlehem Township area. I knew there was a woman who had served on the community advisory board from the college, out of the college, for the Project Aware program, Mrs. Francis. When I first came here, she lived in Bethlehem Township, and she shared with me, you know, how difficult it was when they first moved to Bethlehem Township, you know, years before. So, you know, there have been issues of, you know, black people just being living in certain parts of town, and when they moved to other parts of town, it was a challenge.
How would you describe your experiences visiting stores, banks, restaurants?
Well, you know what? I had an experience here that probably, it was an experience of discrimination, but in some ways it was probably the best thing that could have happened. When I first came here, I lived in an apartment, and I lived in an apartment from 1976 to 1980. And after pretty much deciding that, you know, I wanted a larger apartment, I looked for a townhouse. And there was a townhouse not far from where my apartment was, and I had called about it. And so they said, yes, the apartment, that this townhouse was available. And so my mother was here visiting me. So my mother and I got in the car, and we went to look at the townhouse. And when we got to the townhouse, they told us it was no longer available. Now, keep in mind, I had just called. The townhouse was available. When my mother and I showed up, and I expressed my interest in it, all of a sudden, this townhouse was no longer available. So I do believe that that was because of the way I looked, my race. And so what ended up happening was I called the local realtor and said, you know, I thought, well, maybe if I got a realtor, they could help me be more successful in finding something. And as it turned out, we talked about, well, why don't you think about purchasing a place? And so that ended up being a good thing, because instead of renting an apartment, I ended up buying my own home. But I always believe that that apartment was no longer available because the person saw me. And when she saw me, you know, that, you know, the apartment was taken. But I just believe that they were not interested in renting to a young black woman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it wasn't a pleasant thing. But in the end, it worked out in my favor because I ended up buying my own home instead of renting a larger apartment.
Were there any events that stand out in your mind during those, say, 70s, 80s, 90s that shaped the black community, or that were issues that black people were concerned about?
I just remember going to meetings that just deal with the things that even we were dealing with at the college. Meetings about opportunities for black people getting good jobs, black people, you know, being hired for, like, in the school system. Why don't we have black teachers? Why don't we have black administrators? Why aren't there more black people, you know, on the police force and so forth? Mm-hmm. And so they were the same kinds of issues that we were dealing with at the college. You know, the fact that we needed, you know, more blacks, we needed black people in the classroom. You know, why aren't more black people being hired at the college? So I do recall there was always issues of, you know, employing more black teachers and educators and administrators and so forth.
And who were some of the community leaders at that time?
The community leaders at that time, I remember, Mrs. Esther Lee has, you know, certainly been active in the community down through the years. There was a scholarship organization, the J.F. Goodwin Scholarship. People like, well, Tom Wright as a community leader, although he wasn't originally from this area, he was active in the community. There was a gentleman, Fred Middleton, was active in the community. Mrs. Butts, who, you know, was a retired police officer at that time, the Williams family. So, and of course the pastors, there was a pastor, Reverend Hargrove was a local pastor at that time. And, you know, of course the religious leaders at that, you know, during those years. So there were a lot of people involved in the community.
Mm-hmm. Were there any black businesses and entrepreneurs that you recall?
Here in the Bethlehem area, in Bethlehem, actually, I don't recall any that I can think of any black businesses.
Any restaurants, barbershops?
I know there was a barbershop in Allentown, mm-hmm. But I honestly don't recall any businesses here in Bethlehem.
Did you have any unique challenges as a black woman?
I can't think of any that would be specific to Bethlehem other than that opportunity, other than what I experienced trying to rent an apartment. That's the only thing that I can recall specifically. And then, of course, you know, I was always very proactive on my job, just in terms of issues related to, you know, blacks and so forth. And so I was always kind of an advocate at the community college in terms of opportunities for black students, black faculty and administrators, and actually students of color. And, you know, I've always been an advocate. And if there were, you know, if there were obstacles, I didn't let the obstacles stop me. I've always been verbal and really proactive. So I just always, you know, I got involved in the community. I remember for a while I was involved with the YMCA's One Imperative, which was designed to combat and to end racism. So, you know, any opportunity that I would have within the community or at the college, I was involved in to end racism and to embrace opportunity for everyone. In fact, when I first came to the college, I was responsible and I developed what at that time was essentially multicultural awareness programs. And so I did workshops right there at the college for faculty and administrators to make people more aware. Now, today it's called diversity training. But at that time it might have been called multicultural or transcultural awareness programs to make people more sensitive and to make it and to create a climate that was more conducive for people of all, you know, races and gender and so forth. So I did a lot of those workshops back in the day, back in the late 70s, early 80s, and, you know, as time went on, I would, you know, bring in other consultants to do that kind of training for faculty and administrators at the community college.
Hmm. What were the things you liked most about Bethlehem that kept you here?
After I kind of stopped commuting back and forth to New York, and I developed a support system of friends and a church family, this really is a nice area in that it is not that far from Philadelphia, it's not that far from New York. Just in terms of the location, Bethlehem is really a kind of idyllic location and community. I just look forward to the time when, and I see it has grown, you see many, many, many more people of color. I just look forward to the time when, when the community is more kind of unified, because you see, I might go shopping, I might go to the mall or to a grocery store, and you see many, many people, but there's just not a way in which people can get to know each other and when you can really build a strong community. And when that's what I look forward to. And even though I do go to a church, a large church, the people who attend my church are from all over. And so, but the Bethlehem community I know has grown significantly down through the years. I just wish there were a way that we could better connect and better and know that we're here and build a strong community and a strong presence here in the Lehigh Valley.
Well, as my final question, as we sit here in 2019, how would you say Bethlehem has changed over the last 40, almost 50 years?
Well, first of all, it has grown tremendously. Just in terms of, this was once an area that you could say was an area that kind of evolved from farmland and so forth. But it's like, the Bethlehem area has now become just a suburb now of New York City and Philadelphia. There are so many people who now commute from the Lehigh Valley to New York City and to Philadelphia. So it's grown exponentially just in terms of the population. It's also grown in terms of people of color. The Hispanic community has just exploded. With the Poconos area, there's so many people from New York, New Jersey. So it's grown in terms of diversity. It has really exploded in terms of diversity. And, as I said in my previous response, I just wish that there was a greater presence and a greater connection among all the communities. So I'm looking forward to that happening, because I really think the Lehigh Valley area and Bethlehem is a good place for young people to kind of grow their, build their dreams and to grow their families. And I would just like to see a stronger presence and stronger opportunities in a stronger sense of community so that young black people and people of color can enjoy this area. Because I think this is an area that, you know, given opportunity, could be a wonderful place for young families.
Well, Dr. Levy, thank you so much for your time. This was very informative.